Welcome back, everyone, to the Fantasy Crossover Podcast. I am your host, Danny Duarte, joined by my co-host, Brian Acevedo. And today, guys, we have some pretty interesting topics to cover. First off, Brian and I are going to kick it with the All-NBA teams. You know, they were just released earlier this week. We have All-NBA first, second, and third team accolades going out. And then Brian and I are going to give our thoughts on, you know, what we believe in there. And then transition to the conference finals. We have two pretty good matchups going on. Heat Celtics, Warriors versus Mavs. So let's jump right into it. Brian, all NBA teams. I know you have the list in front of you. Why don't you read it off for the listeners and then let's give our thoughts on what we believe.
Yeah, so a lot to get into. We'll just go right off bat. All NBA first team was Giannis Antetokounmpo, forward, Luka Doncic at guard, Nikola Jokic at center, Devin Booker at the other guard, and Jason Tatum at the other forward. For All-NBA second team, you had Joel Embiid at center, Ja Morant got the guard position along with Steph Curry, and then the two forwards were Kevin Durant and DeMar DeRozan. And then for the All-NBA third team, we had center Karl-Anthony Towns, followed by forwards LeBron James and Pascal Siakam, and then the two guards were Chris Paul and Trae Young, the State Farm duo, as I like to call them. And it's actually funny, Dan, this is actually the first time since the 1954-55 NBA season that the All-NBA first team is made up entirely of players ages 27 or younger. I know there's like the first thing that I noticed was like, wow, that no old heads in that list there. There's no LeBron, no KD. I feel like this is the first time in a really long time that you don't have one of those more established veterans on All-NBA first team.
That's crazy, man. I mean, it just goes to show that the youth movement is very real in the NBA, and we definitely have to look out for, you know, their games for years to come. I think that we were very worried that, the NBA was going to be in a rough position once LeBron got older, once KD got older, but it's clearly blossoming, and we clearly have a lot of great players coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I like about it is you like to see guys like Ja Morant not only win most improved player, but get all NBA second team. Kind of reminds me of Julius Randle last year, but hopefully next year won't be as bad as Randle's year this year. There's just a lot of interesting names. It does kind of feel like a changing of the guard is kind of happening in the NBA. Giannis, Luka, Jokic, all these kind of European-based players seem to be the most skilled right now. That's kind of like the other thing that I've noticed, Dan. And obviously Embiid is another one. It's kind of interesting to see like how AAU in the United States versus like how other players are trained across the world. We're kind of seeing the difference in talent now as they're all kind of like hitting their prime.
I think it's very fascinating. I think I don't know if your take is the same as mine, but I believe that AAU kids, just kids that grew up in the States, are a lot more dependent on their physical talent and their gifts, whereas international players and just people that picked up basketball at a later age are a lot more fundamentally sound and technical with their skill set. That's just an observation I've seen.
I agree. I do agree. And I noticed that as well. I kind of feel like those Spurs teams of the early 2000s, like just moving the ball movement, like shooting, prioritizing that, like that team to me kind of inspired the rest of the NBA. And then it kind of turned into the Steph Currys of the world, really spreading the floor. But the game now is just so much different than it used to be. It's kind of crazy seeing the Europeans be not just role players, but being the best players, like MVP caliber players. It's kind of cool to see like how global the game's become.
Yeah, but Brian, let's get right into it. I think we both disagree on a lot of picks. I'm gonna give you my thoughts on some of these, and you know, you can counteract as you will. My first thought, just high level, is that Nikola Jokic continues to prove that stats are the main contributor to All-NBA and just in general award selection. He did not deserve this honor over Joel Embiid. Embiid played just as many games, and his team was a lot more successful than Jokic's, and their stats were very similar. Jokic had a little bit more going his way, but again, we are rewarding stats over winning. That just shouldn't be the case in any award ceremony whatsoever. But then, you know, you have the flip side where Devin Booker makes All-NBA first team solely because his team was the best team in the league. So it's just inconsistent all around. Another couple of high-level thoughts that I had. Jason Tatum, I don't know. I'm still skeptical on giving him all NBA first team honors. There's something about him that just doesn't scream superstar to me yet. It's a lot more potential than anything else, but it's just a gut feeling. And, you know, two other players that I had a really big problem with, Karl Anthony Towns, again, he doesn't contribute to winning. Like, it's just that simple. His team isn't in the best position to win. And also Trae Young. I mean, he barely scraped into the play-in tournament and we're awarding him all NBA accolades. Like, why is there no Heat player representation? I understand Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo missed time, but give it to Tyler Hero for God's sakes. I mean, guys, this is the first seed for a reason and they have no representation in all NBA teams. That to me just, again, I'm not saying that they needed to be awarded, but there's inconsistency with how these awards are being dealt, and I just don't get it.
Yeah, a lot to get into there. Just to touch on Jokic and Embiid. I mean, I half agree with your point, Dan. I agree that Joel Embiid should be all NBA first team. How is it that the guy that finished runner up in the MVP vote doesn't finish on the all NBA first team? It's kind of mind blowing to me that can even be a thing. But as far as that goes, Nikola Jokic still, to me, deserved All-NBA first team. I think you look at the situation, and I know we talked about it when we talked about him winning MVP, but he carried a Denver Nuggets team that was pretty useless without him. Let's just call it what it is. All the injuries that they had this season, he overcame a lot. He basically is the focal point of that offense as well. I would argue both of them deserve to be All-NBA first team, and I would have moved Jason Tatum down. I agree with you. But at the same time, I understand it. He was a part of the two-seed Boston Celtics. That's something that you have to take into consideration, especially if you're going to factor in, you know, the winning percentage. But I think as far as the top 10 goes, I think outside of that little change, I don't think I really change anything. As far as All-NBA third team, my question to you would be, if not Karl Anthony Towns, would you put Bam Adebayo there? I understand wanting to get a Miami Heat in that All-NBA third team at least, but Bam did miss quite a bit of time in the regular season, and I think that that definitely hurt him. Jimmy Butler also missed time, and I think that probably hurt him as well. I think if I had to make an argument, though, Dan, just based off, you know, looking at winning percentage, as good a year as Pascal Siakam had, I would probably leave him off for Jimmy Butler if you felt like you had to put a Heat player in this All-NBA team, which apparently, you know, the sports writers of America clearly didn't feel like they needed to.
Well, again, I just question what's the consistency? What's the criteria? Devin Booker, you and I can both agree, is not All-NBA quality unless you consider the winning percentage.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, he was, let's be real, like, he's coming off of finals.
It's Luka and Steph. It's that simple.
Yeah. It's just he was coming off a finals appearance. They were red hot in the regular season, had the best record. How can you, you know, traditionally speaking, like, that guy either wins MVP or all NBA first team. So I can't get that.
You understand my point. If you're rewarding winning, you're rewarding him for winning, then why wasn't any Heat player rewarded? And to your point, just I want to touch on something that you mentioned that kind of irks me because it's the argument that Jokic keeps getting. The circumstance, the situation. When we look back at these periods of time in history, we're not going to care about the circumstance. We're not going to care that if the Heat go down in the conference finals, that they had this many nagging problems with their injuries, with Tyler Hero, with Kyle Lowry, with Jimmy Butler. We're not going to care about that. We're going to care about the end result. The end result was that even though Jokic put up great numbers, his team finished sixth, and his team was basically bounced out in the first round with a gentleman's sweep. So ultimately, none of that should matter. The argument should be, are you attributing to winning, and are you putting up great stats? Embiid deserved it over him. But to your meta point, or like, you know, the overall point, the NBA needs to get rid of the whole center requirement for all NBA teams. This is just ridiculous. This is why players like Rudy Gobert have been awarded all NBA honors when they clearly don't deserve it. This requirement is just ludicrous. It should be front court and back court. Whatever makes up, you know, the numbers, so to speak, you settle it there. But this is just an archaic way of thinking, and for a league that's this progressive, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they went away from this here in the next year or two, especially when you think about it, these All-NBA teams are tied to these guys' contracts. Like, you're eligible for a bigger max deal, or you get an extra bonus if you hit this All-NBA metric. So obviously, a lot of money is in the hands of these sports writers who are deciding, oh, do I want to put Joel Embiid as a center or as a forward? So that's tough. But let me ask you, Dan, I think we're aligned here. If you had to remove a player off the NBA first team to put Joel Embiid, it would not be Nikola Jokic, right?
No, it's Tatum. Okay. Given the circumstances I am forced to select with, it's Embiid over Jokic.
Right. Like, I understand where you're coming from. I wouldn't have hated that either, but it's also like, how do you give Jokic MVP and then, you know.
Well, I mean,
I know you would disagree with him being
MVP. You know where I stand on that.
Of course, I get it.
This is going to be one of the worst MVP selections in the history of the NBA when we look back on it 5 years from now. Right. That simple.
Talk about a hot take. Let's see what ends up happening. But I agree. If he ends up winning a couple of rings or even one ring, I think people look back on this as this was the
one ring of for two MVPs. Are you kidding me?
Steve Nash didn't win any.
And do you not realize how bad of a mistake that is when they look back on his career now?
Listen,
Kobe should have more than Steve Nash. Shaq should have more than Steve Nash. Yeah,
Kobe should have had way more.
I think that the biggest takeaway from this is that sports analysts and sports journalists don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Well, hey, listen, I'm not going to disagree with you on that point. That's for sure.
I mean, Kyrie Irving got all NBA votes, for God's sake.
I can't believe Jalen Rose. That was a disgrace. Can't believe he has a vote.
So, I mean, that's a bigger point. All right, this got a lot longer and a lot more heated than we thought it would be. Apologies on my part. But yeah, let's pivot over to the conference finals. Let's start off with the Heat Celtics. You and I obviously have been talking about this off the air for a little while now. You clearly have me on some form of watch, so to speak, in terms of depression, given everything that's played off. So I appreciate that. The Heat are down 3-2 heading into game 6 at Boston at the TD Garden. It's not looking good. My biggest takeaway from this series, and you and I texted about it, the Heat just aren't knocking down their shots. It's that simple. They're shooting, I think, playoff historical lows in terms of like records, just terrible, terrible percentages from three. And that's clearly attributing to these losses. My biggest takeaway, though, is that Spo needs to adjust more. As much as I tout his horn and like I want him to be coach of the year, I think it's an atrocity that he still hasn't gotten that honor. He hasn't adjusted in these last two games, and it's really hurt the Heat. You clearly see the momentum swinging the other way, especially in game 5, and we just didn't do anything to like capitalize and stop the momentum swing. And when we did do anything about it, it was already too late. Like, the game was already getting out of hand. I think that's the biggest takeaway. I know that questions are going to come up about Jimmy Butler's stardom. I understand why, rightfully so, he needs to be more aggressive. But I think I put more of the blame on his teammates' performances and, you know, the coaching scheme that he has going for him more than him. But I understand why, you know, other people would argue that.
Yeah, I couldn't wait for this topic to come up, Dan, because as obviously, you know, I have trolled a little bit as far as my Heat fan friends go. I definitely let them know because, look, Heat fans are upset and with good reason. I feel like a lot of them feel like you've been disrespected. You've been slept on by the national media. Everyone picked Boston going into this series, even though Miami was the number one overall seed. And I'll be honest, it feels great to watch. It feels great to watch the Celtics just look like a better team than the Miami Heat. That's really what it boils down to, Dan. You cannot have two consecutive games like the Miami Heat just had offensively in the conference finals. That's just what it boils down to. I mean, I give credit some of it to Boston as well. They played good defense, but a lot of these shots are just really easy, makeable, frustrating shots. And for, you know, you can have one of those games on the road, but to have that at home in a pivotal game 5, you just can't have it. And obviously Jimmy Butler didn't really help the cause because he didn't do much outside of that. And that made it a really long night for Miami Heat fans, unfortunately. But ultimately, look, I think the Heat are going to go into game 6. It's not going to be a cakewalk for the Boston Celtics. They're going to have to beat the Miami Heat. I think they're they're going to give it their all. I think Spo is going to continue to make adjustments. I mean, look, Duncan Robinson wasn't playing at the beginning of the series, and he started to see some playing time as Max Strus is obviously struggling. Kyle Lowry's obviously struggling. I think they went a combined 1-for-28 over the last two games. It's just, it's unheard of. So to get those types of performances, you're not going to expect that again going into game six. But at this point, I don't even know. I don't know what to expect with the Heat.
I think that biggest takeaway here, in my opinion, the game six is going to be decided in the first 6 minutes. If the Heat continue to run their 3-point offense and don't knock down shots in the first 6 minutes, they're going to lose the game. But if they don't make adjustments within those first 6 minutes, they're definitely going to lose the game. If they're not making their shots and they make adjustments, they start feeding the paint more, they start being more aggressive, then, okay, I see it turning around. But I really do think it's going to be that simple. I think that, we're playing into Boston's hand by continuing to shoot threes when our backcourt for the last two games is shooting at a 4%, and we need to pivot, and we just haven't.
It seems like common sense.
But again, that's my take. 6 minutes, I'll give it. And if I don't see these adjustments, it's a wash, and Boston deserves to move on.
Yeah, you'll be checking out like much of the Miami Heat fans checked out with 6 minutes.
Oh my god, you
shut your mouth. But I mean, let's be real. For those of you watching on television, I mean, I want to get your thoughts. I thought that was pretty embarrassing that Miami was not out of the game at all. There was still a chance, and
They were out of the game. If you watch the game, the momentum was not at all with them.
Hey, they're out of the game for fair weather fans. They don't believe in their team, Dan. That's why they're out of the game. Let me tell you.
I'm just a realistic person watching the game. I see that. Wide open shots. They're beating us to the basket every time. Sure, we go on a little bit of run. We're 13 points down with 3 minutes left. I don't blame people for leaving. I would have left. We weren't giving the best effort, and we weren't putting ourselves in the best position to win that game. It's that simple. I agree with you. Miami's fans are very, it's a facade. It's a mirage. Miami's fans, or the people that attend games, rather, are for the most part wealthy people that use this as just like a social gathering aspect or something to do on an off night. Whereas other fan clubs, other sports arenas, they're filled in with passionate people that enjoy the sport. I don't disagree with you there, but I can't knock people for leaving when the game was clearly out of hand.
All right. We'll agree to disagree on the second point, but I'm glad we can at least agree that a lot of fair weather fans out there in Miami last night.
I mean, you'd rather be a fair weather fan in Miami in the conference finals than not attending
any. It always goes back to the Knicks. It always goes
back. I never said the Knicks. I just said not attending any games.
I have this discussion with every Heat fan, and every time I criticize the Heat, it automatically turns back into a conversation.
Please tell me if I at all uttered the words.
They're very defensive. They're a very defensive group. They defend their Heat culture.
I implied other passionate fan bases apart from the Knicks. You could have gone down the route of Orlando, for God's sakes, Detroit. Yeah.
But it always comes back to the Knicks.
Kings. Brian, you could have gone down so many avenues. You just got defensive yourself and thought I was alluding to the Knicks.
We knew where he was going there. It's okay. Heat culture, guys. Heat culture.
All right. And then, Brian, what are your thoughts on this other series?
The one that's not as important to Danny because the Heat are not in it.
The Mavs are clearly avoiding a sweep. Now it's looking more like a gentleman's sweep. Luka Doncic had a great game. His supporting cast finally showed up. But what are your thoughts on, game – what is it? Game five. Back in, Golden State, where they haven't lost a playoff game. what do you think? How do you think this plays out?
Yeah, we're actually recording right as the game is about to tip off, so we'll probably wrap up here shortly. But my quick thoughts, I think Golden State's winning this series, guys. I think it's a foregone conclusion, I would say. Not to count out Dallas. I give Luka a ton of respect. I just have a hard time seeing them winning three more games. It just feels feels a little unrealistic, especially when two at Golden State. But I will say this. I do think they could go to a game six. I could definitely see Dallas coming out and pushing this and seeing, hey, you know, Golden State, if you don't put them away, I could see Dallas definitely hanging in there. But I will say I think Golden State's more talented. I think they're deeper. And I just think they know that they got to get this job done tonight, because Boston could potentially win game six tomorrow. And they want to have the advantage going into the finals of, you know, we have all this time off, or we have like a week off. The finals start next Thursday. So that to me is the most important thing for Golden State. Do not give Dallas an opportunity. Don't keep them in the game. But I do think Luka is going to have a big night tonight. I think he's going to go for 40, if not more. Let's see how the Warriors play him. I'm curious to see if they're going to start doubling him more, or if they're just going to, you know, keep playing zone, because they've been playing zone defense, and it you know, it's kind of forcing Dallas to just take a ton of threes, basically.
Yeah. No, their zone is very obvious, but Dallas hasn't been able to capitalize on it. It's that simple. So props to the Warriors. I think that they're probably going to win tonight as well. If they don't, then I think the series goes seven games, which I would love as an NBA fan. But I just, again, the odds of that just don't seem likely given everything that we've seen so far. And we'll see, man. I mean, next time we record, it's going to be the NBA Finals.
I know. I think you and I, as NBA fans, and I think everyone, we kind of speak for everybody when we say really would love two game sevens. I think both conference finals have been a little disappointing from the standpoint of they've been blowouts. So it would be really nice if we got a couple of close games down the stretch to kind of prep us for the finals. So hopefully we get some close games tonight and tomorrow.
What series do you see going to game seven more so?
Well, I mean, it would have to be Heat Celtics. Let's call it what it is. The Heat just have to win one game. Mavericks would have to win two. Let's call it what it is.
All right. Well, let's hope for at least one game seven, if not two. But Brian, that about pretty much wraps us up. Let's wrap it up. Let's get to this Mavs Warriors game. Guys, you know, next time we hit you guys up, we are going to be previewing the NBA Finals. Both teams are going to be ready. So it'll be sometime before tip off on, I think, June 2nd, probably June 1st we'll record. And until next time, guys, just make sure to interact with us on our social channels, whether it be Twitter, whether it be Instagram. Hit us up. We love the engagement. And make sure to follow the pod. That way you are up to date with the most recent drops. We know that we've been dropping kind of on random days here and there, trying to accommodate for the NBA schedule. So follow us. That way it's not a problem. Until next time, guys, take it easy.